On this beautiful sunny morning, after a very wet day yesterday, but the wind is very cold still. Not be careful, you don't get a cold. There cast a clout till May be out. A good old proverb. So, we're still with Malachi. Should finish it, not today, but next week. And we're going to discuss basically the end of chapter 3 again and the first few verses of chapter 4. Verse 18, it says, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And there we have what we've been saying, the day of the Lord, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 18, it says, "Then shall ye return." It speaks of the regathering of Israel. Look at Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Nealon and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather them together, the dispersed of Judah, from the four corners of the earth." What a wonderful time that'll be for these Jewish remnant. And that leads on into verse 1 of chapter 4. "Those that feared the Lord, those about whom a book was written, those who were the jewels of verse 17. When I make up my jewels, they will be gathered into their own land at the second advent of Christ. And as we saw previously, they will be able to discern between those who have a love and genuine holy fear of their God, the righteous who serve their God, and those who serve him not." This group, the godly remnant, had found joy in God, and God had found delight in them. when they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. Amazing to think that God delighted in his creation, especially in the people we have been reading about in Malachi, who were those who had argued and fought against God. But for those who feared God, he says, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. What a glorious picture to think that we are God's and he delights in us. This godly remnant who had been scattered throughout the world, who had been the outcasts of the nations, sadly as they are in many places today, as we see anti-Semitism throughout the world, their Lord will gather them home, like a shepherd bringing his flock in from the stormy mountains, away from the wolves and the wild animals who would devour them. The remnant of God's chosen people, God will bring them into his care. At present, Israel, they are away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. The majority of those described in Malachi, as you will remember, were rebellious against God. Quick look back at the book and remember the situation in Israel in the last three chapters of Malachi. There were those who caused God to say to the priests, you have despised my name. They had offered polluted bread for the table of the Lord. They sacrificed blind, lame and sick animals. And God said, I have no pleasure in you, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. And the people and the priests were prepared to argue with God Almighty as to their guilt. And this attitude was seen throughout the first three chapters, insomuch that God said, you have wearied me with your words. And still they responded, wherein have we wearied thee? They said, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. They would say, where is the God of judgment? Life to them was not difficult, but for the remnant it was very difficult. Isn't it a bit like our world today? This earth is under judgment. The people, our friends, our neighbours, serve the God of this world. And then in chapter 3, the first few verses declared that there would come two special messengers. And this was a wonderful revelation to these people in the time of Malachi. John the Baptist would come and go before the Jewish Messiah, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, who would announce the coming of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who came as a babe in Bethlehem. We remarked on the modesty and devotion of this great prophet, John. The Jewish leaders sent messengers to ask him why he did this work and who was he. And he replied, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. A voice declaring the coming Messiah. We know, of course, the Messiah came, but sadly was rejected by his own. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1, verse 11. He came, and he was crucified. He died, he was buried, and after 3 days he rose from the grave and ascended up to his Father in heaven. And one day he will come again at his second advent. He will come again to the earth. But Israel continued to sin. Verse 5 of chapter 3, we have again the sins of Israel. God speaking, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. And that list of sins must have made it difficult for the faithful remnant to live for God in that land, while the rest of them carried on sinning and arguing and fighting against God. You know, we have an election coming up soon. We hear a lot of talk about social injustice, workers' rights, and many other things, just the same as it was in the time of Malachi. Things haven't changed. And yet, despite Israel's sins, God did not destroy Israel. And verse 6 of chapter 3 gives us the reason. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God had promised some wonderful promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all down through the year, the mercies of David, that would happen, and that his generations forever would be following in the footsteps of David himself. To God, these sinners were still his chosen people. And then, look at God's mercy towards this wayward people. This wonderful promise. In chapter 3, and verse 10. He first of all says, fulfill the promises, the laws that I have given you. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Then, what will happen? That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Test me, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Despite all their arguing and fighting against God, he has made a wonderful promise here. It shall become a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. What a promise. But they still argued with God. You know, Israel, as we've said through this little study on Malachi, it wasn't long since they had come back from captivity in Babylon. They had been sent into captivity in Babylon because of their sin and their wickedness and rebellion against God. I was looking at this. Why had Israel been sent into captivity in Babylon? In 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, I'm going to read a passage from this. 2 Chronicles 36, start at verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people. Because he had compassion on his people. And on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of God arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, the Babylonians, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70. 70 years they were taken captive to Babylon. 490 years they had been in the land. Every 7th year was for the Lord, sabbatical years. The land should have rested, but these laws were never observed. 70 years of selfishness without obeying God. God said, I'll take them all together. Will a man rob God? That's the question here in Malachi. Will a man rob God? The answer comes loud and clear. No. He may think he can remember, but remember this. Books of remembrance are being written for believers and for the guilty unbelievers. God took them captive to Babylon for 70 years. We read in Malachi here that God was writing a book of remembrance for those that feared him. But we also read in Scripture at the final white throne judgment, where sinners, those who had rejected Christ in their lives, unbelievers, we read in Revelation, we read of the books being opened. Revelation 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. What a lesson for people today. What a lesson for us as Christians. We will attend, as we said last week, the judgment seat of Christ, and the book will be opened. But also, what a lesson for our world who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. We see around us wickedness and sin, as described in verse 15 of chapter 3. But they still, here in Malachi, they said, it is a vain thing to serve the Lord. And then in that verse 15, we are told that the promise of Christ in the second advent, fulfilling in part Isaiah 1 verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we shall have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. God has always told us of a godly remnant in Israel that will always be true, as we shall see at the second advent of Christ. Chapter 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Going on to verse 3. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. We will look at these two verses in just one moment. Let us look quickly where mankind will be in these future days and future events described in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Jesus, the promised Messiah, had come to the earth to his own people. He was rejected and crucified, resurrected and ascended to his Father's right hand in glory. Before he left, he promised his disciples that he would return to take all true believers, his church, back to heaven, where he was going to prepare a place for them. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus was taken and crucified, and he ascended up to glory. The present age of grace was ushered in. However, the church will be removed from this earth at an event generally known as the rapture. The next event in the calendar of the church is the rapture of the church. That is yet to come. There are no prophecies to be fulfilled for that day to come. It'll come, a wonderful day, when we shall be removed to meet the Lord in the air. What a wonderful day. Then Jesus, speaking of his Jewish disciples, also warned that after the rapture, a time of great tribulation would then come, when this world would be judged. Matthew 24, verse 21, sums up this awesome, horrific time. For then shall be great tribulation, such as it was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. What a dreadful time is before this world. At the end of this great tribulation, Jesus will return with his redeemed saints to the Mount of Olives, just as was foretold by the angels at his ascension when he left this earth, when he said goodbye to his chosen few apostles. Acts 1 tells us what happened. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And this event, the second coming of Christ to the earth, the rapture, he doesn't come to the earth, we go to meet him in the air. But this event, Christ comes to the earth. Jude, verses 14 and 15, that little epistle just before Revelation in the New Testament, it says, And Enoch also, reminding people of another prophecy, the seventh from Adam, way back just a few generations from when Adam was on the earth, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And this army, with Jesus leading them, will arrive on the earth just as a vast army will be attacking and surrounding Jerusalem. In fact, half of the city will have been captured. Christ will fight for his people and gain a miraculous victory. And this brings in the day of the Lord, which commences at the Battle of Armageddon. Zechariah chapter 14 should be read. a godly remnant of the Jews will return to recognize their true Messiah and put their trust in him. So we read Revelation chapter 19, starting from verse 11. The picture of this heavenly army which shall come with Jesus. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that receive the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist, those who have decided to go on the side of the Antichrist, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What was the fulfillment of verse 4, verse 3? Look at Malachi 4 and verse 3. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. One of the promises of the coming day of the Lord, let us turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Very interesting that Jesus is going to judge with righteousness, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And this is interesting. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the second advent. It's going to be a time of judgment. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. In that day, he shall take vengeance in flaming fire upon them that know not God. We look at verse 1 of Malachi again. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up with, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And ye, in verse 3, ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. In flaming fire, Jesus will take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 and verse 11, we read that passage about the armies following down the Lord, and he was on a white horse, and out of his mouth, verse 15 of Revelation chapter 19, ties in with all that is said here in Malachi and in Isaiah and elsewhere. And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. What was the fulfillment of chapter 4, verse 3? The armies of evil were consumed by heat. And look, you shall tread them down, the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. in some miraculous way, the army that Jesus was leading, they shall be able to walk through that battlefield and tread on the ashes of the enemy. Let us never treat God lightly. All the wicked will go to await the great white throne judgment before Jesus Christ, the judge of all the earth. And we also say, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. Jerusalem waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God. Jerusalem forsook, the Israel forsook God, which made them, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Then at this time, Christ shall set up his millennium kingdom and rule from Jerusalem in judgment and righteousness. Let us look back. He said we'd read at Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. When they see the Lord Jesus Christ coming in all his glory and defeating the enemy at the Battle of Armageddon, then this godly remnant will suddenly realize that this is the one who came unto his own, and his own received him not. They shall mourn. They shall look on him whom they have pierced and recognize him as the true Messiah. And what grieving they will have in realizing what they have done to the Son of God. Jerusalem will be the center of true worship. You know, there's a wonderful psalm, Psalm 73. Get out Psalm 73 in your Bible. This is a picture of what will happen to the godly remnant. It's a very sad psalm. It's a psalm, the godly remnant who perhaps were trying to live a life pleasing to God, were finding it difficult. We too were living in an age where being a Christian becomes more difficult day by day, if we want to stick close to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we come up with problems, difficulties. Look around our world. We see so many sins being accepted. We see so many things being pushed under the carpet. And we see in Malachi the same question. It is a vain thing to serve God, is it? So we read this psalm and we don't think of it as somebody who is finding it difficult to fight against all that is evil in this world. The situation, which will be for some, may seem quite truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. God is good to us, even those who are of a clean heart. And then discussion that this man has, who wrote the psalm. He nearly was tempted to go back into the world. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He looked around and he says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Therefore, pride compasseth them as with a chain. They seem to be bound up in themselves. Violence, they just wear it like a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? We've all met people like this. How difficult it is to talk and argue with them. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Just what the people in Malachi's day. There's no point in worshipping God. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Oh, he was weighing up what was the point of fighting against this evil. Many times we see the evil in the world and we look around and we wonder, why do these people get away with it? And then there's a change in this psalm. Until he thought all these things, he could see the problems, he could see that the wicked seemed to be in the ascendancy. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. He went into the sanctuary where he got down on his knees before God, and then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He's confessing here how foolish he was to even think of going back down that slippery slope that these people were now on. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. My portion, not just for a short time, forever. For lo, they that are fat from thee shall perish. They that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I might declare all thy works. What a wonderful passage that. This man who could see how it appeared that the wicked survived and had a wonderful time until he went into the sanctuary, and then in the presence of God he saw the latter end of these people. God would destroy them utterly. You know, while I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, I looked at the articles of faith of a godly organization. And here's the good news. For those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, we believe that according to the word of God, the next great event in the fulfillment of prophecy will be the coming of the Lord in the air to receive unto himself into heaven both his own who are alive and remain unto his coming, and those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. The rapture, the blessed hope. We believe that the translation of the church, the rapture, will be followed by the fulfillment of God's 70th week, during which the church, the body of Christ, will be in heaven. And then this is talking about the tribulation which Jesus said would come onto this earth. Be a time of judgment on the whole earth, at the end of which times of the Gentiles will be brought to a close. So we've had the rapture which will come, the terrible tribulation which will come upon this earth, and then we believe, as we have been talking here this morning, we believe that the period of great tribulation in the earth will be climaxed by the return of Jesus Christ to the earth as he went, in person, on the clouds of heaven, and with power and great glory to introduce the millennial age to bind Satan and place him in the abyss, to lift the curse which now rests upon the whole creation, to restore Israel to her own land, and to give her the realization of God's covenant promises, and to bring the whole world to the knowledge of God. And then there will be what was generally called the eternal state. And this is what I wanted to look at here. We believe that at death, the spirits and souls of those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation pass immediately into his presence, and there remain in conscious bliss until the resurrection of glorified body, when Christ comes for his own at the rapture, whereupon soul and body reunited shall be associated with him forever in glory. But, listen carefully, the spirits and souls of the unbelieving remain after death conscious of condemnation and in misery until the final judgment of the great white throne at the close of the millennium, when soul and body reunited shall be cast into the lake of fire, not to be annihilated, but to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Cast into everlasting punishment from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What a frightening prospect lies ahead for all who die without Christ. If you are listening to this CD and have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, please, please get out a Bible and read the following verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Acts chapter 16, verses 29 to 31. This is the story of Paul and Silas when they were arrested and put in prison, and there was a miraculous action, and the prison door swung open, and the jailer came running in. He was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped, and in the Roman authorities in that time treated that kind of thing very harshly. But he sprang and called for a light and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? People even today think they have to do something, do some work. The answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto them the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. What must I do to gain eternal life. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died to save you from a lost eternity, and put your trust in him. Acknowledge him as your own and personal Saviour. May God bless you all. Amen.